Perfect. We're good to go. So, good afternoon. Thanks, John. That's actually a really good intro because I feel like I should give a disclaimer. I am an epidemiologist by training, but my subsection is actually on community health workers. So, I think based on the titles, mine will be a little less epi-heavy, but I do work at the Sinai Urban Health Institute, and one of the things that we firmly believe in is that we can collect data and show that there's a problem, but if we don't do anything about it, then we have failed. There are people out there suffering from certain illnesses and conditions, and health disparities exist, so it's really important that we try to impact those, and that's what we did with this program. I have no other things to disclaim except for the fact that I have multiple hats. So just briefly, I'll give you a little bit of background about epidemiology, talk about, again, I have 12 minutes, so briefly our past work on asthma programs and then the program that, how we got to where we are today, the Healthy Home, Healthy Child program, go through some background and data and then close up. So I think probably most of us in this room know that asthma is the most common chronic condition among children. I'm not sure, though, that people know that it's back on the rise. So it had a steady incline, and then it sort of stabilized in the early, about 1999 through the early 2000s. And then recent data that the NHS released showed that it actually increased recently, which is really unfortunate. We thought that we were making a lot of progress, so we've increased to about 13.8%. And then, as in most conditions, those rates vary by race, ethnicity. For a long time, we were grouping our Hispanic populations together, and it was bringing the Hispanic rate of asthma, prevalence rate, down. And once we were able to separate out Puerto Rican and Mexican populations, we saw that our Puerto Ricans actually have the highest rates of asthma, and then our non-Hispanic Black. And this is a 3% increase from our 2006. So, you know, again, we think we're making a lot of improvements on health disparities or asthma in general, but we're not, and there are certain groups that are suffering a disproportionate burden. And that really is mostly happening in inner-city minority communities, although some people, we have seen rates in rural communities raise as well. We did a survey and found that 1 in 4 children in the area where we work on the west side of Chicago have asthma. And they also suffer a more disproportionate burden of it. So they're hospitalized more, they go to the ED more. A lot of them rely on the ED as their primary care physician. And they just, in general, have much poorly controlled asthma. But the good thing is that something can actually be done about it. I just met Jerome Bettis when I was in London for the NFL football game. So Jerome Bettis is the bus. He has asthma, Super Bowl champion. So children can live normal, amazing lives. We just need to help them get there. So the things that really heavily impact can be the home environment, so a place where children spend a lot of their time. And some individualized education is another way that we've shown to really improve asthma symptoms. So we've been working on asthma for about 11 years. It started off in the clinic setting, and we realized that we needed to do much more in the home environment. So we started incorporating a community health worker model and going out into people's homes. And we've shown that it's improved asthma symptoms, it's decreased asthma health resource utilization, and we've saved about $4 to $13 per dollar spent. And that depends on the intervention. It's a kind of a large range, but it depends on the intervention and then the severity of the asthmatics enrolling in the program. So that is how we got to where we are today. We moved from the clinic into the home, but we were still really focusing on the medical management of asthma. And CDC put out a call for translational research, and the Seattle King County Healthy Homes, which Dr. Jim Krieger is actually here, his work's been amazing, and one of the things that they really did is really focused on the home environment and how to impact that. So we thought that this was a great opportunity for us to take the work that we have already been doing and incorporate more of the Healthy Homes environment model that was done out in Seattle King County. So, as I said, it's funded by the CDC. It's a translational research grant. We're still using a very similar models to both of them. And then the other thing that we realized is that You know, we're a research organization at a hospital, and none of us really have a lot of experience in environmental health. So we said, okay, let's partner with some other organizations. So we really focused on our partnerships as well. Again, we don't have a lot of time, and I want to get to the data, but it's a really strong partnership. We created a community advisory board of people that have a vested interest in the community, people with children with asthma, themselves have asthma. And then two big partners as well are our Metropolitan Tenants Organization. So they provided a lot of tenants' rights information to our participants, as well as helped us with healthy homes management, integrated pest management, aspects like that. And then Health and Disability Advocates, they actually provided pro bono legal work to some of our clients. So we are on the west side. The red dot is the Sinai Health System. Sorry, this is a map of Chicago for those of you that don't know. It's a predominantly African-American neighborhood. It's one of the poorest communities in Chicago and therefore one of the poorest communities in the nation. About 40% of the adults smoke and they have severe asthma, as I said. So again, we're using community health workers. If anyone wants to know more about that, I'm happy to discuss that model with them after this session. They make about 6 home visits over the course of the year. We're still incorporating individualized asthma education, but really focusing on the home environment and how to reduce triggers in the home. And we do a home environmental assessment at 2 weeks, 6 months, and 12 months. And we work with the families to do an asthma improvement plan, and then we also don't want to take the place of their physician visits, so we really try and bridge that gap between the patient and the doctor. So one of the really challenging things that we had was recruitment. This is a little small, sorry, but we had a total referrals of 1,343 people and were able to enroll 266 of them. That is our success rate of about 20%. I have a whole separate analysis on that that I've done as well, and it's pretty fascinating. So, you know, generally our care and demographics of our participants match the demographics of the community. You know, just some interesting things is that we are dealing with an extremely underserviced and poor population, and, you know, we've all been living in this economic crisis, and the community that we work in has really, really felt that. I won't show this data, but our participants moved on average of 4 times while they were in the program, and that's just those that we were able to keep in the program. So then those that we lost probably moved even more. I put this slide together just to show some of the similarities and differences between the Seattle King County Healthy Homes population and our population. So, you know, again, it was they're very, very similar. I think the main differences are in our recruitment. I know I spent some time talking with Dr. Krieger, and they had a lot of nice relationships with health departments and other physicians. We definitely strive to do that. It's a little bit more difficult in the climate that I work in. People felt that they thought we might take their patients and silly stuff like that. So most of our participants really came from a lot of community outreach, our community health workers literally flagging people down on the street. to get in. So I'm going to go quickly. So just to go over some preliminary findings, we did have quite a bit of loss to follow up, and again, I have some separate analyses on that. But today I'm just going to talk to you about the 182 folks that completed through 6 months. It was a 12-month intervention. So our primary goal was to decrease asthma-related morbidity, severity, health resource utilization. So here's looking at daytime symptoms, nighttime symptoms, and days needing rescue medicine. At baseline, we ask in the past 2 weeks how many times have you had these symptoms, and then we follow them every month and ask them in the past 2 weeks. To get this number, it's the average of month 1 through 1/6, so that's a bit of a protective, this is a conservative estimate, and you can see these decreases are quite fantastic. And then we move into ED visits. And again, these are self-report, but at baseline, we ask them in the past 12 months, how long have you been in the ED? And then every month, and average those together, you can see in ED visits, this is one of our strongest measures, and this is, you know, over a 3-fold decrease. And when we sum urgent visits, it's hospitalizations, clinic visits, and ED visits, it's about 6.6 average in the year prior to, and then decreasing to about 2.7. They're all statistically significant, and you know, again, to bring it back to the person, if you can imagine taking a child to an emergency room on average 3.5 times in a year, and then that going down to just one. And then we also measured quality of life. It's a validated survey done by Juniper. Everyone uses it. A 0.5 difference has shown to be clinically significant, and then these are all statistically significant. There's three measures, the overall score, activity limitation, and emotional function. Again, tremendous, tremendous improvements. And anyways, yeah, people's quality of life can sometimes be pretty dim. The other thing, we have a 17-item asthma knowledge quiz. This is a secondary goal. At baseline, people got about 13 out of the 17 items correct, and then the median score at 6 months is about 16.5. Another really interesting thing, and it's a little disappointing, but we are interested in decreasing a child's exposure to smoke. At baseline, about 58% of our participants lived with a caregiver or lived with a person that smoked, and smoke is the universal trigger for asthma that we know about. It decreased not very much, and as well as caregiver smokes, about 37% of them, and decreasing about 33%. So slight decrease, but not statistically significant. So just in summary, we had 72% decrease in ED visits, 65% decrease in asthma attacks, 40% decrease in nights, time symptoms, which is a very nice measure for asthma symptoms, increasing quality of life and asthma knowledge, and we decreased smoke exposure slightly. So there's definitely some limitations. There's no control group. However, I don't think that it's justifiable to use a control group in a study such as this with all of the evidence anymore. However, something that might be interesting to look at is our partner agency effect. So children that maybe had access to some of these partner agencies that offered other services and ones that didn't. Obviously, we gave them to everyone. You know, so people are looking at testing the CHW model across populations. The data that was collected self-report, so there might be recall bias. However, there was a study done in 2007 that looked at claims data and recall and found that they were very similar. And then also people may have reported social desirability bias. You know, the RA, someone that they get to know, they could have responded favorably. So just some lessons learned. Community health workers are fantastic, awesome, everyone should use them. They quickly and effectively establish relationships of trust with families. So they're better able to kind of get at some of the underlying causes of what's going on. They might require some supervision, and then reimbursement can be difficult. Participants, we had a really high loss to follow-up rate, and I think that's really because economic hardship. And you know, I think it's really difficult to ask someone to control their asthma when they're worried about keeping their lights on and their heat on. And then the legal housing and social referrals, what we saw was well beyond what we could ever handle. So lots more work. Anyways, in conclusion, asthma exerts an excessive burden on children living in certain communities. We don't know how to prevent it, but we can definitely help them, and there's different models out there. So just acknowledgments, and if you want any further information on anything, I'm happy to send you more of the details. Oh, okay.
All right, questions. Very interesting program in Chicago, taking a model and applying it, right? Good interaction. Yes.
Yeah, I like the level of stuff. I used to work for the city of Chicago.
Oh, great.
Well, quick question. Now, this was focusing on children?
Yes, 2 to 16, and they had severe asthma.
2 to 16 with severe asthma, okay. And now the population does move. It's pretty transient. Yeah. Lots of risk factors there. What you were looking at smoking, was that a specific question on your survey?
Yeah, so we ask, do you yourself smoke, and then does anyone in your home smoke? And we also ask about smoke exposure, so how often a child is exposed to smoke, daily, weekly. And it's interesting, people will tell you that their child is never exposed from smoke, but your papers, your data collection papers, will smell like smoke when you leave there. So, yeah.
Thank you.
So specific questions about, I guess it's part of the intervention to educate them that they shouldn't smoke inside the house and or around their children. Is that part of it?
Yeah, we originally tried to, we were like, we're going to get people to quit smoking, and we realized that that's probably not a good idea. So what we decided is to try to get people to not smoke around their kids or smoke outside of the house.
But that wasn't the variable that you reported on. You reported the caregiver smokes or doesn't smoke.
Yes.
So what did that mean? They smoke in the house? Or, I mean, were you able to measure anything short of quitting?
I do have data on that, and I haven't looked at it extensively yet. Sorry, the program just ended like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so that's a good suggestion, is to kind of refine
that. I'm sure she knows.
Look at the actual smoke exposure and the triggers. Other triggers, what were the other main triggers besides smoke?
Yeah, we saw about 36% of the homes have mold, and actually cockroaches is an enormous issue, so people don't even realize that they have them, but about 40% of our homes had cockroaches. And then bed bugs was also a huge problem in Chicago, I think across the nation, but Chicago was a big hitter of the bed bugs, so we, although not a trigger, still a pretty annoying thing to live with.
Bed bugs are or not a trigger?
They're not a trigger.
We have the evidence.
I just wanted to know a couple of questions.
Can you stand up, please, and speak up a little bit? Can you stand and speak up?
Yeah, our data is similar. I think the smoking is also very hard to change. So I wondered about the cost of the six visit model and in terms of sustainability, what your next steps are in terms of trying. Because if this, we can't keep on doing this. CDC funds, they're not available anymore. So we need to have some sustainability plans. So what are you planning?
Thank you. That's a fantastic question. So, yes, one of my next steps as far as data analysis, in our previous programs, we did a six-month intervention and then just followed through for 12 months. And I think one of the things that we would like to start doing is having the intervention time periods more specific to the person. So I think some people need a more intensive intervention in the beginning, but then some people need more follow-up through. So that's one of the ways that we'd like to tweak the model and test that and look at that. As far as sustaining the program, we've actually been able to work with a couple insurance companies and managed medical care providers, like an HMO, Medicaid HMO, and they are now adopting our model and paying for us for every visit that we make to people's homes. So. I'm happy to share with you our trials and successes and challenges with that as well. It's been a long road, but really successful.